You may be seated. Father, we thank you so much for the promises of God and how great your faithfulness is. And I want to thank you, Lord, in that faithfulness, Lord, how you just really did do some things for us in this life, Lord, where you did part the waters, where you did come and rescue us, where you did come and show yourself strong and mighty. And Lord, we have much to sing about and much to worship you for all the things that you do in our lives. And Lord, I want to thank you for that promise today, Lord, that you are faithful. And the question is this morning is Lord, how faithful are we? You, this great God that we are to reflect in all that we do, this great faithfulness, Lord, are we a people that reflect the faithfulness of God? To know, Lord, that you are never finished with us. That, Lord, that we always follow Jesus. Father, even to our dying day and dying breath, you never stop using us. And Lord, we never, ever stop following you. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, as we think on these things, how you've delivered us, how you've moved through our lives, how we know you do things again, over and over and over again. Well, Lord, I want to pray in Jesus' name that we would be a people that come to this place where we move on to maturity. We move on to Christ-likeness. We move on to service. We move on to exercising the gifts that you've given to us. And I pray for that kind of prayer today, Lord. And that as we looked at Ephesians just briefly earlier, that God, that you'd come and do exceedingly, abundantly, far, far beyond anything that we've ever prayed, that you would come and do a work in us individually and corporately as this local church called Cottonwood. And we just ask in Jesus' name that as we open the word, that you'd wash us, and that God, that you would just speak to our hearts, and we go from this place again knowing we've met with you, have a word from you, and that you've promised the power to give us, Lord, to live that word out. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his great sake. Amen and amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. I've just been in my own daily devotional time. I'm just moving through the New Testament, and I'm actually in Matthew 18, and this passage of scripture really just spoke to me early in the week, and I want you to see that first of all that this is a quote. Matthew is quoting from Isaiah 24 about the servant that's coming, and Matthew is just saying, hey, what Isaiah said 600 years ago, this is what I'm saying to you 600 years later, and this is Jesus. This is what Isaiah spoke of, and I want you to notice what he said. Behold, verse 18, my servant whom I have chosen, that's Jesus, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I've chosen and I'm well pleased. Okay, that's really important because when you come to Christ, the scripture speaks of his choice of you. And then when we believe him in faith, suddenly God says, I'm pleased with you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we don't believe we're saved by works. We're saved by faith. This is what pleases God. And so he says the same thing about Jesus, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. And watch this, I'll put my spirit upon him. Does he not do that for you and me? Does he not do that for you and me when we come to Christ? I put my spirit upon him. The promise of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit of the living God, where the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. The third person of the Trinity, God himself. What a great promise. What a great distinction that you and I have as believers in Christ from all the other peoples of the world, of all the other religions of the world. This is why, folks, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me, that's what he means. There's only one way to the Father. That's what we preach, that's what we believe, that's what we speak, that's what we live. Because I'm just going to tell you, if there's just another way, why in the world did Jesus have to die? There's another name by which men can be saved. Why did he die? Why was he resurrected? I will put my spirit upon him. Yeah, you have this God who when Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. We did believe, and so we believe in him. We put our trust in him, and God was well pleased in that, and he puts his spirit in us and upon us, and guess what he does? And he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. We get to proclaim it, to live it and proclaim it. He goes on and he says, he'll not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Verse 20, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice or righteousness to victory, and in his name the Gentiles, that's you and me, will put our hope in him. I want you to notice what's happening here. He says, listen, when we come to Christ, much like Jesus, what we're saying is that we come and we believe. And then what does he do? He puts his spirit upon us. And then what does he do? He releases us to proclaim the message of Jesus. He gets to do that. But you know, when I think about life and I think about how life gets to us, and how we're just moving between the Spirit of God in our lives and the flesh, that so many times we'll look at seasons of our lives where we're self-directed and we're not God-directed. Let me ask you a question. In those seasons of your life when you were self-directed, did that work for you? Did it work for you? Absolutely not. A lot of times, because we live by the flesh and not by the spirit, we wake up one day and there's just kind of devastation behind us because we didn't do life God's way. We did it our way. And maybe we got hurt, and maybe we got disappointed, and maybe we fell in sin. But what happens is, and then that disappointment and that anger or whatever it is, we just stopped. We just stopped. But here's this great God who comes along and says, even when you feel like, listen to me, please listen to this, even when you feel like you are just a battered reed or a smoldering wick, and your light is just smoldering, it's just got a spark in it, that the Bible says he'll not break you off, amen, and guess what? He'll not snuff you out. And there's too many of us in this life that we go through life making excuses because of sin or because of disappointment or because of how old we are or how young we are. And we think that we've just blown it or we've just failed. And you know what? God has snuffed me out and he's broke off the reed that I'm supposed to be. You know, when you look at this passage of scripture, there's just two things here that are really significant to me. The first is that he says that I'm not going to break off a battered reed. What does that mean? Well, reeds were often used for musical instruments. And when they were broken, they just cast them aside. I like to think about it is just, you know, when David said that God took him out of the pit and put him on the rock and he put a new song in his mouth, a song of praise to our God. Well, sometimes I think we go through life in our song. It's not like it used to be. Matter of fact, we're way out of tune. We're real off key because of the brokenness of the reed, so to speak. And God says, listen, you have a voice. You have a song. And just because you're in a season that's just hard and difficult that you've done your own way, I'm not going to break you off. I'm going to continue to use you because listen to me, Jesus always will continue to use you and we will always follow Jesus. That never stops. It never stops. And of course, the smoldering wick. We have a couple of hurricane lamps in our house so that when the lights go off, we can light up the wick and bring light to the house. And you know, when it comes to the end, it smolders. It just does. And our great God comes along when we think we're smoldering and we think we have nothing left in us because of whatever life's thrown our way. My God says, I'm not going to break you off and I'm not going to snuff you out. What a promise. What a promise. Because there's many of us in this place and many watching today that we have been through those places that we thought, yeah, the way you're saying it now, yeah, I was broken and I was smoldering. My light wasn't shining and I was living life my own way. And you're right, God came along and he restored what was broken. He restored what locusts had eaten. He restored our marriage. He restored our life. He restored us. He restored me and all my brokenness. And all my smoldering, he didn't snuff me out. And if you're in Jesus today, and you're in Christ Jesus today, I want to tell you this promise is for us, it's for you. And I want to say this with just great conviction that he called you, he chose you, you believed in him, he put his spirit on you. You proclaim justice or you proclaim righteousness or Christ to those who are lost. And you don't have to quarrel about it, you don't have to cry out about it, you're just a witness. And then somehow in the ways of life, we got discouraged and we quit doing what God asked us to do. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling like you're a smoldering wick or a broken reed and that God could not use you for whatever reason. For whatever reason. But I'm here to say to you with great confidence that no matter where you are, what you've done, what you've lost, God is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you. Hey, can you hear my voice? If you can hear my voice and you're breathing today, God is not finished with you yet. He's not done. He's not done. Some of us would think that God would be done with us because of our past. And I'm not just talking about the past before Christ, but maybe the past season of my life. You know, I love what Paul said about his life. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to just put it on the screen here. It is great if you can open your Bible and look at it. But I want to tell you what he says. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful. Now watch, putting me into service. Stop right there. Don't go on yet. But just think about that. I'm thanking Jesus who strengthened me because he considered me faithful. Putting me into service. I'm going to say this. If you're a believer in Christ, I want to just propose to you and believe with all my heart that God is wanting to strengthen you, to be faithful, and to consider you faithful to put you into service for the glory of God. It is a great thought. I just believe with all my heart that most of us flounder in our Christian life is because we're not doing what God has asked us to do, bottom line. And that's why we flounder. That we're not doing what God's asked us to do. And you say, what about doing? No, we're already talked about finding him in faith and God being well pleased with us. But then we're talking about finding our assignments and finding our giftedness and realizing that no matter what's happened in my past, that God wants to use me. And he wants to use you and me till the day you and me die. Or you and I die. I don't know if we can fathom that sometimes. But I want to tell you, when I look at this passage of Scripture that says, I'm not going to break you off and I'm not going to put you out, means that you've still got living to do, and that living is not for yourself, but it's for God Almighty in the kingdom of God. That's why we find ourselves so unsatisfied in our Christian life and so disappointed in our Christian life because we've stopped doing what God's called us to do, or we said, no, we're not going to do that. This great Apostle Paul in verse 13 would say, even though, watch, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. That's what he was. God saw that I was faithful to put me into service when I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And then he says, and the grace of our God, of our Lord, was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. More than abundant. It's a trustworthy statement. deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief of all. Chief of all. And then he says in final, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as a foremost or the chief sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Can you imagine? I was formerly what? A transgressor. A violent aggressor. A blasphemer. And yet God saw that I would be faithful, and he put me to service. Let me tell you, I don't care where you've been, listen to me, in your former life, or you may still be living a former life, or where you were last week, my God is faithful to call you out of the pit and say, I'm not going to snuff you out, and I'm not going to break you apart. I'm not going to do that. Because the scripture says in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've described your life, this great God wants to use you. Because I want to tell you, Jesus never stops using you. He never, ever stops using you, no matter your past and no matter your age. I want you to think about this for a moment with me. Very important. Neither your age. I tell people that when Johnny and I left youth ministry and found ourselves with the agent here, that if you're old, if you've been here and you've heard this, forgive me. Well, don't forgive me. I don't care. I went from youth ministry to geriatrics for Jesus. And now I'm getting to be one. Headed that way. Right? And I don't know about you, where you are, especially those that are headed to retirement or you are retired. I'm just going to say this, no matter what the age, no matter what your age is, Jesus will continue to use you until the day you die, because we never stop following Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men until you're 65 and retire. Or you're 80 or 90 or 105 with a good sound mind. Because God never stops using you. He never stops using you. He doesn't want to stop. You know, I was thinking about this because I know there's some people who've just kind of quit. I'm just going to say God still uses them as an example. Do you want to be used as an example? Not I. But what the thought is not just your past life, it's just your age. I was reading something this week that just kind of paralleled with this my reading, and it's just interesting. And I'm just going to read it to you. It's not in your notes, but this New England Journal of Medicine in 2018 did a study. It was an extensive study in the USA that found that the most productive age in human life is between 60 and 70 years old. We live in a society and a culture that says, you're 65, you're done. And you go, whew, thank God I'm done. But yet 60 to 70 is the most productive age in human life. The second most productive stage, watch this, in the human being is from 70 to 80. 70 to 80. I bet you didn't think that, did you? I sure didn't. The third most productive stage is 50 to 60. The average of Nobel Prize winners is 62 years old. The average age of the presidents of prominent companies in the world is 63. The average age of pastors of the 100 largest churches in the USA is 71. This tells us, in a way, that it's been determined that the best years of your life are between 60 and 80 years old. At 60, you reach the top of your potential and you continue into your 80s. Therefore, if you're between 60 and 70, 70 and 80, you are in the best and second level of your life. Do you see what you got forward to look to? Did I say that right? I don't know. Sorry. Got that messed up. But you know what I mean. We would think 20 and 30, right? 35. And 35, I just realized that's when you realize you don't know what you're doing. Right? 35. And 40. And I don't know about you. I know that in some ways our church kind of reflects my age through the years. And there's lots of us in here that are aging. And we say we don't have the energy, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. Why wouldn't there be a couple of Nobel Peace Prize winners from God's perspective who is 75 and 80 years old doing the peace meal and peace work of Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter how old you are. God continues to use you, wants to use you, and you never stop following Jesus. Abraham was called at 75, believed at 86. Do you realize that? At 86 years old is when he finally believed. Genesis chapter 15. I mean, Bible says it clear. Then he believed in the Lord, and God reckoned him as righteous. And then God fulfilled the promise when he was about 100 years old, and Sarah 100 years old also. He's just starting. Moses and Aaron were 80 and 83 year old, respectively, when they made their demands to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 7, 6 through 9. Paul is still writing scripture in his old age. Philemon 1, 9, yet for love's sake, he says, I rather appeal to you since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, the old man, still writing scripture, the aged, and also a prisoner of Jesus. John wrote Revelation when he was in his 90s. Are you with me? Are you with me, folks? Are you with me, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old folks? That God still has a purpose and a plan. You might have retired after 40 years and you looked at what they gave you. They gave you a watch. So you can just watch time tick on. I'm here to say to you that when the Lord Jesus gave you the Spirit of the living God, he never takes that back. We're going to see that in just a moment. And what's the Spirit of God for? He says it. He says, so that the power of God might come upon you, so that you might be witnesses of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, until you're 90. No, until you breathe your last. I'm going to tell you, as long as you're breathing, you have purpose. Let me tell you, even when you don't know it. My dad died of Alzheimer's, and that thing faded. He faded away before us. I want to tell you, he spent eight days without food or water, not knowing what was going on. But I'm going to tell you, when he died at 2 o'clock that morning on June chapter 18th and breathed his last, God was finished with him. And you say, well, what purpose did he have? Well, we got to love him just as he was, just as he is. We got to celebrate him. We got to do those kinds of things, even to the end. And it wasn't about my purpose or my brother or sister's or my mom's purpose. It was about his purpose. And we're to trust God until we breathe our last, even when we don't know we're breathing our last. Because God finishes what he starts. Even in your old age. You know, the psalmist said it like this. It's in Psalm chapter 92, verse 12. If you could get the... yeah, thank you. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Hey, can you go back there for a minute? I just got an idea and thought. Just kind of a little... not going to chase this long, but you might ask the question, what does it mean to flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon? I don't have that answer right now. But maybe you can go home and do some study and find out what the significance of that is. I mean, I give enough scripture to you in a 40-minute sermon that I can't get to all of it. But you can go home and get to it. What does that mean? To flourish like the palm tree. What does it mean to grow like the cedar in Lebanon? I have an idea what that is, and I've got some memory of that, but we got to go to 13. Okay. Planted in the house of the Lord, watch, they'll flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they will still yield fruit in what? Old age. And they will be full of sap and very green. What a promise. Full of sap when you're 80, when you're 90. Full of it. Full of sap. Isaiah chapter 46, it's not in your notes, but I want to read that to you. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to that just for a moment. Some of you mark in your Bible, and this is a really good place to mark your Bible. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 3. It's just 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it. I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Do you know, I happen to just, in my study, just look up these words, and especially in this one, the word to bear, I'm going to bear you. And you know what? I mean, it just exploded with meaning. I mean, sometimes you look at a dictionary, and it's just that much, and then this one just explodes with meaning. And I just want to just tell you how this is interpreted in Scripture in context. It means to take you up and to lift you up. It means to lift your head, to lift up your countenance, to lift up your eyes, to lift up your voice, to save you, to lift up your soul, to lift up your heart, to carry you, to bear your sin, to help you, to aid you. Watch this, to offer gifts to you and to exalt you. Think about it in those terms, that when I'm old and I'm gray, he's the same. And what the promise is that I'm going to continue to bear you up. I'm going to continue to lift you up. I'm going to continue to deliver you until the day you die. And this goes not just for aged, but just as how young, no matter how young you are. When Jeremiah was called, he said, I can't do this. I'm just a youth. And God said, don't say that you're just a youth, because I'm going to send you to this place. And I'm going to send you to them. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to deliver you. But you're going to go as a youth to proclaim to the house of Israel. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Well, let me just tell you, if in our retirement all we do is watch TV, who are we showing ourselves as an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity? I mean, that never stops, right? It just never, ever stops. So it's no matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter how young you are. If God calls you and God chooses you and God equips you and you believe, he will do this work. And you might, and it's no matter the failure, think of David, and it's no matter your disappointment. God still wants to use you. He never stops using you. I think sometimes, though, we have this grand idea that to God to use me, he's got to use me to the crowd. heard a story once, and it's kind of, I like this story because we grew up going to the beach in Florida. And one year we woke up and there were starfish all along the beach, and they were still alive. And, you know, I heard a story once about a guy who had that same kind of experience. And he had a guy that was kind of, he ran into this guy, and this guy was throwing him back. Just picking him up and throwing him back in the sea. Throwing him back, throwing him back. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm saving starfish. He said, but there's so many. How can you make an effect? He said, it makes a difference on this one. It makes the difference in this one. It makes the difference in this one. I can see the task sometimes can be so big. But really, really, micro it. Don't macro it. Micro it. And see who are the people that I'm to have influence in this day, let alone this decade. But this day, because that's how we live. We live day to day to reflect the goodness and glory of God. Listen, you're not finished until you breathe your last. Quit acting like it. Because we go through life acting like God's finished. And he's not. He is not finished with you. He is not finished with you for the kingdom of God and the kingdom purposes. Oh, you might get to retire from work, but guess what you get to do in retirement? You get to stay as busy as you've ever been doing the things that you're the most passionate about. The things that you said you wanted to do when you retired, but you're not doing them. Because somehow we've lost the hope. We've lost the glimmer. We've lost the thought that God is never finished. He always uses us and we always follow. Listen, first point, Jesus never stops using you. And the second point, you never stop following him. How is that? Well, go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, a really great passage of scripture about how God continues to use Israel, okay? And how Israel has not been cut off, and how Israel, by scripture says, will be saved. But I want you to see it just kind of from another perspective for you and me individually as a part of the New Jerusalem. It says, verse 26, and all Israel will be saved, just as it's written, the deliverer will come from Zion and will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. When did God take away sins? At the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The deliverer will come from Zion. That's Jesus. He comes and he makes us whole, saves us, delivers us. And it's an awesome promise. But then he goes on and he says something that I just tell you, is this a word that just I've lived on and have lived on all my pastoring days here. And he says about Israel, for the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they're beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Listen, when you got saved and you heard and you believed, the Spirit of God came upon you and you got the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, you got his gifts. He called you. He called you to what? Salvation. He called you to redemption. He called you to forgiveness. He called you to holiness, sanctification. He called you to heaven one day. He called you deliverance and freedom. It's the calling of God. It's irrevocable. The literal word is repentant. He's not repenting over that. He's not changing his mind over what he's done and what he's given to you. He's not done that. We never stop following Jesus. He never stops using us, and we never stop following him because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now, sometimes in our age, it may look different for me when I'm 75 years old. It may look different for me. But the gifts of God in my life, in your life, in the callings of God, God never, ever, ever takes them back. Amen. Amen and amen. We never stop following him. You know, I think about this whole thought of who God calls us to. He really calls us to himself more than anything. He calls him to us to Christ-likeness, to the character. Just like he told Timothy, just as we saw, an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, to show yourself an example of those who believe. It's the point of the Spirit of God giving to you. It's the calling of God. But what about the gifts of the Spirit? The Spirit of God. Just go down your page to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And here, there's seven gifts here that I want to just call them ministry gifts, or somebody has called in the day motivational gifts. The things that motivate you. He says that we are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. And we're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment. For just as there are many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us each of us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of your faith. What's prophecy? Usually when you look at New Testament, prophecy has two things. One is it's a great encouragement gift to encourage people with. But then it's also, on the other hand, used to point out sin. To point out sin. You know, I've heard people in early years say that's just a really prophetic message. And all I talked about was repentance. Because I need to repent. And God convicted me. And I thank you for the prophetic word you gave to me. But hopefully this is a prophetic word that's encouraging some of you. What am I doing? What am I doing here? What am I doing in this place? Why am I not thriving as a believer in Christ? Why is our marriage not thriving? Why are we not thriving in church life? Why is that? And you begin to ask the question. And we don't thrive. So we go to another church. And we don't thrive. So we go to another church. And here's the deal here. God has gifted you. He's gifted you. And you may have prophecy. The Bible talks about prophecy here. And then he says, according to the proportion of his faith, service or helps. For some of you, just love to help. You love to serve. That's what motivates you. This is what encourages you. And so you're the gal who cooks the meals, who washes feet, who goes and does things that you love to do. You love to do it. And then he says in his who teaches in his teaching, exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Seven. There's some of you in here today that are teachers and you're not teaching the word. Why? You have a motivational gift for teaching and you love to get into the word and you love to discover what it is, but you're not teaching. And then there's some of us in here that Paul would say, by this time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teaching. I mean, think about it in the whole thought of giving. Now, we're all to give, right? But then there's so certain people that are motivated. That's what motivates them in their life, to give. To give their time, to give their talent, to give their resources. Mercy people. I had someone tell me here in recent days, there's a new man in my life who is just, you know, about 10 years ago and kind of watched me do some things with him and his family and said, you're a mercy person. Well, no one's ever told me that. But I like to think that that's what motivates me. The mercy of God. Those gifts and those callings are irrevocable. And the reason why you can be so unhappy in your Christian life is because you're not using the gifts and callings of your life. You've often heard me say this in a different context, but in the area of ministry and giftedness, what's the last thing God asks you to do that you've not done? What is it? Would you make a commitment so that you can say, it's no matter my past, no matter the failure, no matter the disappointment, no matter my age, no matter where I've been, that the gifts and callings are irrevocable and that I'm to keep on following Jesus? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. A broken reed he will not break apart. You may be here today or watching online, and maybe your heart's been stirred about something in this message. Sometimes some of you will read on and God will point out something to you. But I'm asking a question. I'm asking the question, is the kingdom of God worth making time for? Is the kingdom of God worth making time for? Is the kingdom of God greater than your kingdom? So what are you doing in your area of life that's enhancing the kingdom of God? And you might say, well, I need somebody to teach me. Well, you do need somebody to teach you, but I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that you have an anointing from the Spirit of God that teaches you about all things. Okay? Can't blame it on anybody that's not teaching you, because if you're hungry enough, you'll learn. At the same time, we're called to equip you. Leadership is called to equip you. And I just want you to know, I just want you to know that we're working on some of these. I'm working on some of these things. We're going to be working on what does it look like to equip us to do the work of the ministry. The question that I'd ask is, if you've been gifted and you've been called, why aren't you exercising your gift? And while this is really fresh on your mind and heart, would you ask as a point of invitation today to ask God, God, what do I need to repent of today? What do I need to take back? And what do I need for you, for me to be in this relationship with you, that I'm doing the things that you've called me to do, gifted me for? And you do that with God. Do that right now. Do that here. Do that when you go home. Have the conversation in your car. And then I just want to challenge you to just kind of listen for what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And if it means picking up the phone and calling me or Scott or Craig or Chance or one of our elders or a Sunday school teacher or a home fellowship leader, and to say, hey, I want to move on with what Pastor was saying about today, because I believe the message. He doesn't snuff out a smoldering wick. He doesn't break apart a reed that's broken. And the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Lord, I pray for that kind of movement today. And just kind of just here in a couple more seconds here, I just want you to remain quiet for a moment and make at least the commitment, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. Put your yes on the altar right now. Right now. And Father, I ask that you would awaken us to these things today. And Father, that you'd appoint us today. for the next assignments you have for us. And may we as a church love one another to get us enough to get us to those places. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for the offering that's at the door today, and I ask that you would just bless the gift and the giver today. We thank you for your provision in our lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. I want to say I'm glad that you were here today. I hope that that some of these things that we've talked about will provoke you. And if you need help this week, if you need to pick up the phone this week and call us, call me. I would love to meet up with you, and I'd love to share with you. I know folks, I could throw you to folks that will, if I can't answer questions, can help you. And that's my prayer for you. So let's do the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his countenance shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. Lift up his face, his countenance, and give you peace right now, right here, on your going out and your coming in. Whatever you do, may the peace of Jesus be upon you. And this team, may God bless y'all this week as you head to the Northwest. Pray these things, ask these things in Jesus' name. Greet one another in a little bit and say hi to one another, and then you can go.